Thank you and good morning. Good to see you this morning. Good to be with you this morning. And I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And just as you're doing that, I'm going to mention just a couple of things to you. I'm going to ask you to please be praying for the camps. It's all starting up for the summer already. And I know that at Hope Valley in Peterborough, where we go in the summer and we help out there, that things are already gearing up, getting ready for the summer months. The snow hasn't cleared yet. I mean, it's not gone. But staff applications are coming in. We normally at Hope Valley, and if you don't know about the camp, it's basically a sort of a sister camp to Graphite Bible Camp. Doug Robinson started up along with the board, Graphite Bible Camp many years ago, but 20 years after that, he went out to Peterborough, and he started up one between Peterborough and Lakefield on the former Highway 28. But Hope Valley Day Camp is out there. It's been operating for some 35 years or something, 37 maybe. And we've had the privilege of serving out there for about 33 summers. But in any case, we've got applications that are coming in now for summer staff positions. And so if you know somebody who's out in that area who might like to serve at camp out there, then encourage them to visit hopevalley.ca, and they can figure out from there how to apply. The applications are closing at the end of April. We rely on about 63 to 65 young people, and I'm talking about 13 through to 21 or 22. Most of them are 13 to 17. And to come and to help us. We can't run the camp without them. And so we're just so thankful for those who volunteer and those who come. And so many are from that area. We've had some from this area as well go out to Peterborough and help out there as well. And so at the present, it's kind of interesting. February the 1st, the application portal opened up for the young people to apply. And within a week, we had so many that had come in. But we're up to about 50 now, I think. Is that right? About 50, close to 50 applications that have come in, maybe a little more than that, for looking for positions at the camp for the summer. And so we're just so thankful for that. So please be praying for the camp. I have some insight into what's going on there with the recruitment area. And we just appreciate your prayers that the Lord will raise up the young people to come. We're now seeing the children of the young people who were on board and helped when I was, you know, there even 15 years ago. I got some of those young people now coming. And it was just downright amazing to me, but it's wonderful as well. And then, of course, we've got Graphite and Joy and all the other camps, Guelph and Galilee up over by Renfrew and all kinds of camps all over the place. This is a busy season. It's going to be a busy season. Please be praying for that. And for campers. We have staff actually on board with us the last two or three years, and then this year is again applying, who got saved right at camp. People who are not from Christian homes, they heard about Christ at camp, they've come to the Lord, and now they want to live for Him and they want to follow Him. And I just find that so encouraging. And so please be praying for the camps. And please be supportive of them however you can. Now, I didn't say that last part to lead into this part, but I guess it does join together. There's a fundraising dinner at Hope Valley this coming Saturday. It'll be held at Auburn Bible Chapel, and it is at 5:30. The dinner starts at 6. So if you were to get there for 5:30 downstairs at Auburn Bible Chapel. So if you're interested to go, they'd love to have you come. What they would like to have is an indication that you are coming. And so probably the best way to tell you how to do that is just to go to hopevalley.ca, figure out the contact information there, and just let them know that you'd like to come, okay? And how many people are coming, and they'll make sure they got room for you, okay? The cost is zero. The proceeds, of course, are all going toward the summer camp ministry. Okay, now that you're at Romans chapter 12 and I've done my advertisement, I apologize. I didn't even run that by anybody. I just thought I was going to do that. But thank you for letting me do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we're going to go to two or three passages this morning, so you might want to put a stick of gum or something in there. Maybe an unchewed one would be best. And then we'll go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself, that's the Lord Jesus, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then one more, and it's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And I'm thankful for that bottle of water. I've drunk from it about seven times now already. Let's just ask again the Lord's blessing together. Father, we want to thank you that you gather us together to sing praises to yourself. And we just thank you, Lord, for your holy word that you've given to us to instruct us and to teach us. Father, we wouldn't really know about yourself and really about your ways at all. And we certainly wouldn't know about your Son, the Lord Jesus, were it not for your holy word. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for it. And as we open it together this morning, we pray that again that your Holy Spirit would direct our minds and our hearts to understand and to hear and to respond to the things that are written therein. We just pray your Holy Spirit would indeed speak to each one of us. And I pray again, Lord, personally, that you give me that enabling, that guiding, that directing, that I might be led by your Spirit in all things. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. History is full of people who were overlooked until somebody believed in them. And so we're going to mention some of those to you. Einstein was 4 years old before he could speak. He was 7 before he could read. Isaac Newton did poorly in school. A newspaper editor fired Walt Disney because he felt he had, quote, no good ideas. The composer Joseph Haydn gave up on ever making a musician out of Beethoven, who seemed to him to be a slow and plodding young man with apparently no talent. Now, obviously, history proved those people wrong. And maybe at that time, you know, it didn't seem like they had a whole lot to offer. But it does show us that sometimes our early assessments can be wrong. And it also maybe demonstrates to us that our assessment of ourselves might be wrong. Now, I want to say everything that I say about this carefully. When we are born, it doesn't seem like we have a whole lot of ability, does it? I mean, you look at a little baby, what can they actually do? Cry? Even then, they don't do that very well sometimes. Some of them do very well. I remember our Peter, he could hardly cry at all. I remember thinking, boy, you got to cry a whole lot louder, because there's louder kids at home than you are, and you got to cry a lot louder than that, so if you're going to be heard. There's not a whole lot that we seem to be able to do when we're little. And it's hard to understand what the potential is and what the abilities are. We certainly don't know what the talents are. We might learn fairly early on what some of the personality is like, but it's not until time goes on and as development takes place that we begin to see the development not only of the character, but of the abilities that that person have. And you know, it's interesting because along with the abilities comes an inclination sometimes, right? That this kid is always swinging a hammer because he just seems to like to do it, and he's actually very good at it. You know, we were at our son's place down in Kitchener, Andrew and Becca's place down in Kitchener, just this past weekend, drove down there quickly on Sunday, and had a good visit with them for a couple of days. And on the day that we were leaving, Lucas, who's 3 years old, I couldn't get over, I don't know if he's going to be a pitcher or not, I'm not going to dream too big, but I tell you, he can throw a ball pretty good. better than I could at that age, maybe even better than I can right now. And you know what? Did anybody tell him what to do? Well, no, he just saw and realized that you can throw a ball. Maybe somebody showed him, I don't know, but he's good at it. Eye-hand coordination, and pretty hard too. I'm glad there were soft balls that he was throwing. There are abilities, natural abilities that we have that are God-given at a very early age. In fact, from the very moment that we're born, we have these abilities. And there is something else that we have, and that is we are given spiritual ability the moment we trust Christ. The moment we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are given an ability to serve God. And those are the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. Now, I'm not going to get into that in a big, big way, but I do maybe want to mention to you, and you may wish to turn to it if you want, but it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. And there we read in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. This is talking about a spiritual ability that God gives to us when we're saved. Now, what are these spiritual gifts? Well, there's different kinds. There are teaching. There are evangelizing or telling others about the Lord Jesus. There's giving. There is showing mercy, which is showing kindness. And we might say, well, aren't we all supposed to be kind of doing those things? Aren't we all supposed to be evangelizing, telling others about the Lord Jesus? Aren't we all supposed to be teaching the Word of God to our children and so on, to others, when opportunity comes? Aren't we all supposed to be giving from what God gives to us? Aren't we all supposed to be showing love and mercy and care to one another? Yes, we're all to be doing that. But in the same way that we all have to learn English, and we all have to read and write, and we all have to know a bit of math and know what percentages are, and we all have to know how to dress ourselves, and we all know how to do this and that and whatever, right? That some of us are better at some of those things naturally than others. That some people build things because they can build things. That some people do math because they can do math. Perry Best is a math guy. That's what he is. I remember him telling me, he said, I used to lie in bed dreaming about numbers. And I'm thinking, if I was dreaming about numbers, it would have been a nightmare for me. That was not my thing. I can do it. I can do it. And I did fairly well. I got B's in it. And then for some reason, I took grade 13 math and I failed it. I did my best. And I failed it. And for some ridiculous reason, I thought, I'm going to try that again. And I failed. Well, I got by this time with about a 63. And that taught me something. David, you're not a math guy. I never thought I was anyways. But I understand percentages and stuff. So there are things that we have to do in this world that we may not be the best at, but we just have to do it anyways. And then in those things, there are some things that you may be, that's your strength, that's your area, that's what you focus on. And spiritually, we're all to evangelize and teach and show mercy and give. And there's a list of other things in the Word of God that we can be doing. But the point is this, is that God, when we trust Christ as our Savior and the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, He brings with Him, or rather He gives to us a gift. We don't learn it. We don't earn it. It's not something we have naturally. It'll work along probably with our natural talents. It'll work along with our natural abilities as well. But He gives us a particular ability by His Spirit to do something. And so every believer should want to be involved in that. And the Bible says then in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, which is where I've jumped over, and I haven't even read that yet, there are diversities of gifts. There's lots of different kinds of spiritual gifts God gives. And then he says, and there are diversities. He says, by the way, he says the same Holy Spirit, though. We've all got the same Holy Spirit. And there are differences of ministries or different ways of serving. So somebody, for example, who is an evangelist might be doing it in a Billy Graham way with a big crowds of people. And I'm sure he did it one-on-one as well. And then others might be doing it in a Doug Robinson way. He could do some of that, but he was very much a personal worker one-on-one. And somebody might say, well, you know what? There are different ministries involved in evangelism, right? And then he says, but it's the same Lord, by the way. And then he says, and there are different diversities of activities, lots of different activities you might be involved in. So someone's involved in camp work with their evangelism, and someone's going into the manor, into the old folks' home, and somebody's ministering to people out in the streets, to those who are living on the street. There's lots of different activities that might be involved. But it's the same God who's working in those things. Now, I'm not going to examine what the gifts are today. And one thing maybe I just want to say about all of that, if you were to read Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, you'd read about the spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, you're going to find lists of gifts. And some of those gifts, those abilities that God gave, were for the early foundation of the church. Some of those things were sign gifts. That is, that they were given to demonstrate that what the apostles were preaching was indeed the word of God. So they were, for example, replicating the kinds of miracles that Jesus did. And there were healings and things that happened. And this demonstrated that God was indeed with the disciples. Okay? And that the message that they were bringing was really his message. I don't want to get bogged down in this morning as to trying to figure out what my spiritual gift is. In fact, I want to encourage you that you do not try to embark in some kind of a course where you think, I've got to try to figure out what my spiritual gift is. I just got to find that out. I don't read in the Bible anywhere it says, find out what your spiritual gift is. It doesn't say that. And so I'm not saying it's not, you know, it's a bad thing to find out what it is, but you don't have to stress on saying, I've got to figure this thing out. I mean, it's like trying to say, I've got to figure out if I'm good at math or I'm good at English or I'm good at French or if I'm good at, you know, art. You don't have to try to figure, you're just going to do things. And as you're doing things, you're going to find, hey, I like doing this. Hey, actually, other people say that this is something I'm good at. Hey, you know what? This seems to bless and make people smile when I do it. My art never made anybody smile. It made them grimace when they saw it. But for some people, and I see their art and I think, this is beautiful. Oh, you got such an ability with that. And I don't think those people went out thinking, I'm going to try to figure out if I'm an artist or not. They were doing what they liked to do, and then they realized, I can do that pretty good. And so it's kind of like that with spiritual gifts. So I want to just mention that first of all. God gives to you and has given to you a particular ability to serve him. It's the ability that he gives. And it's something that he wants to bring out in your life so that you might be involved in ministry, so that you might be involved in activity to serve the living God. So why did I read Romans chapter 12, which is where we're going to go back to now? Romans chapter 12 in verse 1, he says to us, I plead with you then, or I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He says, and by the way, this is the prequel to him talking about some of the spiritual gifts. And he says, I urge you, therefore, when you think about the mercies of God. He says, think about how good God is to you. He says, I've just taken 11 chapters. Well, he didn't know that there were chapters, but he wrote down 11 chapters telling us about how great our God is and how wonderful our salvation is and what it means to us. And you were reading some of that this morning, Scott, concerning, right, that nothing can separate me from the love of God. He says, I want you to think about how good God is to you. I want you to think about what God has done for you. I want you to think about the salvation that you have, the Savior that you have. And he says, I'm urging you then, when you think about that, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. If the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for you, then I'm urging you, he says, to lay down your life for the Lord. I'm urging you to make your life, because the body is talking about the life. And if it's a daily sacrifice, if it's an ongoing, and the verb sense is that, it's an ongoing thing that I'm continually offering up a living sacrifice. Now, sacrifices are usually dead, aren't they? Yeah. And didn't Jesus die? Yeah. But I need to die to myself, and if I'm going to offer up a sense of worship to God, it's this. Lord, you laid down your life for me. You have rescued me. You've saved me. I belong to you. The salvation, the Savior is wonderful. And you know, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to live for you. And that's a daily, ongoing thing. And it says it's your reasonable service. Some of the translations say, which is your reasonable act of worship. We actually so often define worship so narrowly. We'll talk about, you know, we're going to have the worship team, the praise team up, and now we're going to worship the Lord. Well, we should be worshiping the Lord all the time. And from the moment we wake up in the morning, we should worship the Lord. What does that look like? It means, thank you, Lord, for saving me for my sins. Thank you, Lord, that I belong to you. And here I am, Lord. I want to live for you. And I offer you myself today. I want to live a life that's pleasing to you. And he's talking about that, isn't he? He says, a life that is a sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. And so the first part of ministry, and this is the prequel to spiritual gifts that he talks about, the very first part of ministry, the very primary thing as a believer in Jesus Christ on a daily, ongoing, daily basis is, Lord, here I am. I want to live for you. And I want to ask you this. Isn't he worth living for? We get one shot at this. I was just reflecting with somebody this morning. You know what? We just got a little while longer and we're home in heaven. Now, when you're only 21, that seems like a long, long time to get to 81. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there fast. But you know, those who are 81 would tell you they got from 61 to 81 a whole lot faster than they thought they would. The point is this, we get one shot at this. We will be worshiping the Lord forever and ever in heaven. We will be offering up ourselves as a daily, ongoing act of worship to him in doing whatever he wants us to do. It's going to be our delight to do that. Today, with our old sin nature still clinging on, we have the opportunity to either serve the old sin nature and serve ourselves or say, no, I want to live for God out of worship to God and I want to honor him. And so I want to say to you this, that God has a plan and a will for your life. God, the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, sent His Holy Spirit into your life so that you might live the Christian life and enable you to serve Him. And there's things that He wants you to do. And you don't need to be scared about that because you might say, well, what have I got to do? Give your life to God daily on an ongoing daily basis. What, even when I'm 85? Yes, even when I'm 85. That I give my life to God on an ongoing daily basis. Lord, I thank you, and I want to do what you want me to do. Now, you'll notice here, it says that if we're doing that, we won't be conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our mind. As we're feeding on the Word of God, as we're giving ourselves to God, we want to make sure that our mind then is caught up with what God wants us to be doing, and not what the world really wants to squeeze us into. And notice what it says here at the end of that verse. That you may prove, that you might demonstrate what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to be in the will of God? You know what? How do I know what my ministry is? How do I know what my gift is? How do I know what I should be doing? There's lots of different things I could be doing. What could I possibly do? I feel like Einstein who, you know, couldn't learn to read and write until such and such an age. I don't know if you're an Einstein or not, but I tell you, God is an amazing God, right? And so obviously those people at a certain point didn't seem to have a whole lot to offer. Maybe they looked at themselves in the mirror. Maybe you do this as well. And you think, well, I don't see a whole lot there to offer. You know what? Quite honestly, it really isn't a whole lot to offer. When I look at myself, it's not a whole lot. But what God is able to do and what God wants to do is fantastic. It really, really is. And so it begins with this, that I offer up my life daily to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to carry out your will. And you know what he does? He opens up opportunities. He opens up desires. He gives a burden to your heart. He burdens your heart about this or about that. You see a particular need that you're involved in or that somebody has. This is just personal experience. I want to share just how it works, at least for us, okay? So I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. It's not that at all. It's just explaining, okay? Why are we involved in being in the manor on Thursdays? Well, because the lady who was there doing it couldn't do it anymore, and she asked us if we would do it, and I said, well, I guess I could do it. I guess I can preach. I know that. I'll go in and I'll do that. I don't actually think I'm very good at visiting with the old folks, but Eleanor's excellent at it. And so I do my bit and she does her bit, and we cross over with some of that and we do it together. Why do we have a youth group on Saturday evenings? Well, it's because we never thought we'd be involved in a youth group. We have no inclination or intention to be involved in a youth group. But COVID struck and we saw young people sitting on pews, and the youth groups were shut down. And we thought, I feel so bad for these young people. And we were praying for them. And I said, Lord, somebody's got to do something. Lord, you want us to do something? You see, it came out of a sense of need, and then God burdened our hearts about that. My wife is the activity expert with that. She comes up with all the activities. She's the friendliest one there, probably. I try to be friendly. I'm just mostly just goofy. That's about what I am. I'm just goofy. That's about all I know what to do. And then I bring the devotion. But we just want to encourage them in the Lord spiritually. That's why we're doing that particular work. Why are you out at camp, David? Why did you go there in the summer? Because Doug Robinson heard that I was going into the preaching full-time, because that's what I've been doing some of, was preaching. And Doug said, David, we need some help over at the camp here. And I'm thinking, not the camp. I can't work with kids. I can't work with teenagers. I haven't a clue what to do. The whole thing terrifies me. I'm an introvert, folks. And I thought, I can't do that stuff. And I said, well, I don't know. I'll pray about it. And I knew I had to pray about it. I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do it. My wife testified to that. I wrestled with that for about a week, and she was wrestling with God in prayer about it. And I said, well, Lord, I've got to pray about it. And I thought, well, I could go for a week. They want me to come out and help for a week. Okay, so I called Doug back. I said, Doug, I'll go for a week. I'm willing to come for that week like you asked me to. Great, David, that's just wonderful. I know the Lord, young people are going to love having you there. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Wait till I come. And then what happened is we just before we got there, just a couple of days, maybe even after I gave this confirmation to Doug, I got the phone call back. David, we'd love to have you come for 7 weeks. I was terrified, traumatized, and everything else, right? And I knew this. Well, God's opened up the door. I guess he wants me to do this. Folks, I'm preaching because that's how it happened, okay? I didn't think, hey, I think I would like to be a preacher someday. That'd be a cool thing to do. That didn't happen at all. But I'm so delighted that he's opened the door and shown me this is something he wants me to be doing. And so whatever it is, God works like that in our lives. And so it starts with this. Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, and I'm laying my life before you because you've saved me. And you know what? I can tell you this much. Having come through that experience, it sounded pretty traumatic, I guess, when I said it, is the Lord has given the enabling, and the Lord gives the confidence, and the Lord gives the strength, and the Lord directs in it. Because it's his spiritual gift that he's working in me and through me. And so it is for every single one of us as we yield ourselves to him. Okay, David, there was three passages you read out, so you better get to Ephesians 4. Let's go to that one. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And we'll look at this one rather quickly, I think. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And we read together, and he himself, that's the Lord Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. Couple words about this first of all. These are people who have or had spiritual gifts. Somebody had the gift of apostleship, and somebody had the gift of being a prophet, and somebody has the gift of being an evangelist, and some are shepherding and teaching the word of God. And what we need to understand here is that, as I mentioned before, that some of these spiritual gifts were foundational in character, in manner, okay? They had a foundational characteristic to it. Now, you know, even though I don't know anything about building, I know that, you know, once you built the foundation, you don't keep building the foundation. You just build on the foundation because you only need so much foundation, and you better put down a good one. But once you've got your foundation, you don't keep building the foundation. You don't add the foundation to the roof or anything like that. It's down here, and it's supporting the rest of the structure. And so what he's talking about here is this. He says that actually that the Lord gifted to the church people who had particular gifts. Now, sometimes we use the word gifted, and we say, well, that guy's a really gifted individual. And what we seem to mean by that person is, I tell you, they're outstanding, they're above all the others and all the rest of it. And that's not what the Lord is talking about here at all. It's certainly not what I'm talking about. What he's telling us is this, is that in the foundation of the church, God gave some who were apostles. Now, that was Peter and James and John and Andrew, and they were the apostles. Paul was one of the apostles. And we have the blessing of their ministry still today because we have the effect of them going out and preaching the gospel, and we also have the New Testament written by the apostles. And so we're built on that foundation, isn't it? Aren't we? When we think about the gospel and we think about the New Testament that we have, there were those who were prophets. There were those who were in particular circumstances telling what before the word of God was complete. Well, this is what God wants us to be doing. You might think about how, for example, one of those ways it worked was when Paul was traveling in his ministry. He's heading back toward Jerusalem. And there's about three times that somebody spoke and said, God's saying, if you go back there to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested. That's what's going to happen. God's telling me that. And they were communicating what God was saying in a particular circumstance. Now, all I want to say about that is that those people, and when we think of apostles in particular, that they were given to the whole church. Was it just one church that benefited from their ministry? No, all the churches were benefited by their ministry, right? And then we can think of some of these other folks, evangelists. I don't know what is conjured up in your mind. If you have some kind of a picture of somebody on the TV or the radio who's grabbing your money and is a deceiver, then you got the wrong picture. There are people who say that they're godly and they're not. But an evangelist is someone who's communicating the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so when we think of their ministry, we realize that they might affect several churches. And the same thing with shepherding and with teaching, and I've used the word shepherding here, that the word consistently actually in the New Testament is actually shepherd. But the point is this, is that their ministry tends to be to various churches. I find, for example, that the Lord has me preaching here and there at about 10 different assemblies that I might go to with some frequency. And the Lord says to us, look, what I've done is I've given these people these particular gifts. They're actually speaking gifts one way or another. These are the preachers, the teachers, right? These are the counselors. These are the people who are reaching out, shepherding, encouraging, teaching others. And by and large, he says, what I want you to understand is this. I have gifted them to the church. Now, don't think for a moment that these people are above or supreme to or more clever than or anything else than that, compared to other Christians. They're not. They're just simply believers, and God has given them these gifts. They're the speaking gifts. And then he says, he gave them to the church for the equipping of the saints. That's every one of us. For the work of the ministry. For the work of the ministry. You know what that word ministry means? It means shepherding. Rather, serving. So the Lord has given teachers, preachers, evangelists, counselors to the church, and they minister the word of God. What's their function? To equip the believers to serve. Our one goal, our one responsibility really is to communicate what God is saying in his holy word. We're not more special, more gifted, more important, or anything like that. There is no such thing as a clergy lady in God's system as I can see. But what their responsibility is this, is to help the rest of the body to be equipped to do the ministry. And so what we need to understand is this. There's something for every single one of us to get involved in. So you might be asked sometime, how many ministers are at your church? Well, I think there's about, 75 people in here right now. We've got 75 at least. That's if we're all ministering, right? We've got 75 ministers at our church. Wow, must be a big church. Well, it just means that we're all involved, right? Ministry or minister just simply means serving or servant. And he says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. So what are some of those non-speaking gifts? Well, people might be speaking anyways, but, what are they? The Bible talks about administration or organizational. Well, don't people have that naturally? Yeah, but there seems to be spiritually a sense of that as well. The Bible talks about, as I mentioned, showing mercy. The Bible talks about giving. The Bible talks about various things that are there to help one another. And you can look at the lists in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. And as I said, some of those will be sign gifts. They were foundational. And then there are others that we have. And so as we think about those things, we need to understand this, that these spiritual gifts are given in order to build up the rest of the church. Now, how in the world am I supposed to know what I'm supposed to do? I'm going to suggest that some people, I mean, hopefully when we give, it's because God prompts us to give. But some people, it's just their lifelong, it's their burden, right? How and who else can I bless? Who else can I reach out to? Who else can I help? Somebody who's showing mercy. Who else can I reach out to? Who else can I encourage? Somebody who's evangelizing is thinking, who else needs the gospel? Who else needs to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody who's teaching is thinking, who else could benefit from hearing the word of God? And so on and so on and so on. And so, what we need to understand is this. The ministry does not belong to just one little class of people. In fact, there is no such thing as a certain class of people. But actually, every single one of us needs to be involved in ministry. Now, and I'm going to say to you that when you see a need, when you lay your life before the Lord and you say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how do you want me to serve? Lord, well, the first thing is this. You lay your life daily before the Lord. Daily, you thank him for what he's done for you. And then you say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. You lay upon my heart what I should be doing. Lord, you burden my heart. Don't you think the Holy Spirit is living in you, who's given you ability, and he's going to develop that ability in you, is going to show you and burden your heart about something? And he's going to show you what to do. Or there's going to be an opportunity, and you're going to say, well, I guess I could try that. I don't know. I could try. And then you find out, you know what, I enjoy doing this, and I've been involved in this for a while now, and I'm involved in this ministry, or involved in this activity. A ministry isn't necessarily a sort of a board. You know, it could have that attached to it. But there's lots of things that need to happen within the local assembly. There are lots of needs. And so maybe it just starts with this. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? I have to admit that when it came to preaching, I got started only because I got started at that point. Lord, what do you want me to do? And then I hear things like this. Some of you will know who this gentleman is. If I can think of his name, his name will come back to me. Don Steele. There we are. Donald K. Steele, I think, is his middle initial. And I was out at Bible school, and I heard this. Donald Steele from Lakefield Gospel Chapel would like to invite some of the young men to come out and to share at the Wednesday night Bible study. It's a small little group. It'd be an encouragement to them, and if anybody would be willing to give it a try. And I thought, I've got to give it a try. I'm not being honest before God if I don't give it a try. Did I really want to do it? No, really? Not really? But the interesting thing is my wife had heard me, she wasn't my wife yet, but she had heard me one time share a devotional thought at the Bible study because I was asked to. It was sort of my turn. And so I did it. And she said to me afterwards, you know, I think you got the gift of teaching. You know, I think you're going to be a preacher. I said, me? Preacher? I don't think so. I hope not. You know, that's where I was at with that. And then, you know what? For some strange reason, Donald K. Steele kept having me come back. I thought, man, they must be desperate. Either that or something's happening. And that's how it is in ministry, right? That the Lord opens up doors and the Lord gives opportunity. And so let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I'm watching the clock, and so you won't need to. I am watching it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift. I haven't got a gift. You've received a spiritual gift. You've received an ability and a desire from God to serve him. And as you yield your life to the Lord, he will start to show you things that you can do. And he'll open up opportunities. And can I just say to any one of us, when the Lord gives you an opportunity, well, maybe you could kind of bring the devotion this time. Would you give it a shot? You never know what the Lord might do through that, right? And so he says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So let's just think of this from a sense of stewardship. Well, if the Lord gives me something, he wants me to use it for him. He's entrusted it to you. He's given you a spiritual ability so you can serve Him. So that starts with that. Lord, I want to serve You in the areas that You want me to serve. And so we want to serve one another. That's being a good steward of God. And then He gives us the two basic categories that all these gifts fall into. Or maybe the two basic categories that ministry falls into. He says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Or as the utterances of God. If anybody is communicating or teaching, if he's speaking, then he needs to share what God wants him to share. So the Lord tells us about the gift of evangelism. The Lord talks about the gift of teaching. The Lord that is teaching the Word of God. The Lord tells us about the spiritual gift of exhortation. That's encouraging. And part of encouraging might be what you're saying. If anyone is saying anything, then make sure you're saying what the Lord wants you to say. That's why, for a couple of reasons, but one of the reasons that I pray after I read the Word of God, is because I'm just very much aware I want to share what He wants me to share. I want to say it His way, whatever He wants to lay on my heart to say. And so if anyone is saying anything, that's just a basic principle, isn't it? You're given the opportunity to say something. Lord, I don't know, You've opened up this door now. I've never done this before. What am I going to say? Just share whatever the Lord leads you to share. Well, I guess that's going to cause you to pray, isn't it? And if anyone ministers, that's the word serves. So he says, listen, there's two basic categories to our ministry. There is speaking, there's serving, there's the hands-on stuff. And that's just equally as important. If anyone serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. You know what? I can't preach. Now, some of you already know that. But I can't preach. I can't do it. I daren't try to do it without the Lord. I know, I sit on that pew every Sunday morning and think, I can't do this. I don't wrestle and have anxiety attacks over it, but I've had them. I've had them. I know that I can't do it, but I know that His ability is working in me and through me. That blows me away. It totally amazes me. And He's working through my personality, and He's working through some of my natural strengths as well. I understand that. He even works through my goofiness. That's great. But it's the spiritual gift that He's working through. And it's the same thing in our serving gifts. I don't seem to have a whole lot of them. One of the spiritual gifts is helps. That's helping people. Some people just see when people need help and they just help in lots of different ways. I'm helpless and hopeless. I'm the one who needs help. I'm pathetic. My wife knows that, okay? I'm not good in that area. But if anything, if we're involved in that, we're doing it with the ability that He gives. That's what it all boils down to, folks. So it comes down to this. Availability, ability. I don't have the ability. No, but I'll give Him the availability. But the amazing thing is this. He gives the ability. We just read that, didn't we? I give the availability. He gives opportunity. He gives the burden. But it starts off with, I give the availability. Here I am, Lord. Not much to look at. There it is. And I'm willing to serve You in wherever and however You want me to serve. We give the availability. He gives the ability, the desire, the opportunity. And in those things, He gives the ability. And you know what He does too? Gives you a pleasure in it. He brings blessing to others through it. He brings pleasure in it to others, and He brings pleasure to yourself. And there's a sense of satisfaction. There's a sense of awe. Lord, I just can't, you know what? To God be the glory for it, because I can't do that. I can't do it at all. In fact, I wouldn't even have the desire. Anyone who gives because they've got the gift of giving is doing, and they're aware, you know what? God's given me the desire to do it. Anybody who's showing mercy as a spiritual gift is doing it because God's burdening their heart about it. And so whatever those things are, it begins with this, availability before the Lord. Now, this church should be full of ministers. There's something that God wants you to do. Yeah, but I'm 85 years old now. Well, there's still things to do. I want to tell you about Rita. Rita Gunter. I don't usually ask for a show of hands. Anybody here knows Rita Gunter? Know who that is? Nobody who knows who that is. Okay. And I asked her, Rita Gunter, I think she grew up in Gunter. It makes sense to me. And anyways, Rita Gunter is probably in her 80s, maybe even her 90s, and she's at the manor, and she's one of the little old ladies sitting there every Thursday afternoon when we're going in to bring the gospel. We talk to the ladies and the guys who are there, a handful of Christians who are there. She says, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you're bringing. And you know she says? I can't do anything anymore. I can't do anything anymore. She says, but I pray for the people here. She says, I can't even remember their names. I don't know their names, but I pray for them all the time. I just look at somebody and I pray for them that they'll come to Christ, and I pray for somebody that'll come to Christ. And I'm thinking, maybe that's why people are getting saved. Maybe that's why so many people are coming up. Maybe, see, there's a whole lot of stuff happening before we ever get there. Do you understand that? Or while we are there. And so there's always something that you can do. And you just ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? And it starts with this. Offer up your life today to the Lord to serve Him. And it's amazing what He will do in your life and through you, and the blessing He'll bring to you for it. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank You for Your Son. We want to thank You for the fact that You call us to ministry and that You give us the ability to do that. And Lord, we just pray that every single one of us here, out of appreciation for Christ and what He's done on the cross for us, having died for our sins, rising again from the dead, giving us eternal life, Lord, that we would offer up our lives and return to Him. Lord, we know that He's worthy. And Lord, we just pray that You'd lead us into those areas of ministry You want us to be involved in. We pray Your blessing on this church. We pray Your blessing on every believer. And we pray that we'd be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.